So we're going to be learning Megillah, Daf Ches Amud Beis, and we're holding the Mishnah at the bottom of the page. The Mishnah begins: Ein bein seferim letfilin umzuzot, ela shehasfarim nichtavim b'chol lashon. Tefillin umzuzot enan nichtavot ela ashurit. No difference between Tanakh, Sfarim, and Tefillin and Mezuzos, which also have sections of Torah. The only difference, and we know that all these lines, the only difference doesn't really mean this is the only difference. It means within a certain realm. The only difference is that Tanakh is written in any tongue, and Tefillin and Mezuzos must be written in Lashon HaKodesh. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Af b'sfarim lo etiru shikatvu ala yevanit. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel says, you can't write Tanakh in any language other than the beautiful Greek. You have to know what the beautiful Greek is. But okay, whatever that is. So the Gemara automatically goes same style as all the previous Gemaros. The Gemara says, by inference we understand, halet toferan begidin veltameit hayadayim zev zeh shavim. Must be that they're equal in something, right? Notice the Gemara doesn't assume they're equal in everything. Doesn't take the Mishnah literally. So what are they equal in? That you sew the tefillin and the mezuzos, when you sew the parchment together, you sew them with sinews, just like a Sefer Torah. So our Mishnah says that we have a halacha al Moshe Mesinai that tefillin and mezuzah has to be sewn with gidin. And now we're understanding that Sefer Torah and a Tanakh, if you're going to sew the parchment together, that also must be sewn with gidin. This is something where there are all kinds of charlatans out there. They take all kinds of shortcuts in Safras. And one of the things they sometimes do is they sew Sefer Torah with thread. And it's possible. It's halacha al Moshe Mesinai. It's got to be with gidin. So the Gemara continues. Viriminu. We said that Sfarim, works of Tanakh, Sefer Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, may be written in any language. We throw against it a contradiction. Rama means to throw. Reminu, I'll throw against you contradiction. It says in the Mishnah the following. Mikra, if you have Tanakh, something in Torah.
Are you sure this is a Mishnah?
What?
Is the Rav sure this is a Mishnah?
No. Well, I think it is.
He's a Russian. Okay.
Why?
Because the Russian next page says I agree with the Breiter.
Ah, okay, fine. So then I guess it's a Breiter. Mikra shekatvo Targum. V'Targum shekatvo Mikra. If you have a Sefer that should be written in Lashon HaKodesh, and the person wrote it in Aramaic, or he has something that should be written in Aramaic, certain sukkim in Torah, Hashem Asa me Rivivos Kodesh, he came from Rivivos Kodesh, the word Asa is Aramaic. So the guy takes the word Asa and translates it to Hebrew. Viktav Ivri. Or if he didn't change the language, he just wrote it in different form of letters. They had different letters. There were the letters on the other side of the Euphrates, and there were the letters that we used in Israel. And it seems like they had the same pronunciation. So if he used those letters, Ktav Ivri, we're glossing over what Ktav Ivri is, but we're getting some understanding. Eino mitame etayedayim. So those do not defile the hands, and we went into the concept of Tumas Yadayim, that was a decree that ended up defining what works were holy and what works were not. Remember? We did this a few weeks ago. Remember that, or should we review it? Basically, they saw that people were hiding their truma by the holy works. They made a decree that the holy works, whoever touches them has to wash. It makes the tame and it defiles the truma. This was a way of ensuring that people wouldn't put the truma food by the holy works, and then the rats would come and eat the leather and eat the truma, and everything got ruined. So in order to ensure people would stop doing that, they decreed that all holy works have a level of tumah. And that became a code. You want to know if something's holy? Is it part of Tanakh? So then it's called, is it mitame sayadayim? Do you have to wash your hands after you touch it? Technically it's holy. Why do you have to wash your hands? The rabbinic decree that it's mitame sayadayim. So this Mishnah Braisa, this Tanakh quote, seems to say that if you have something written in another language, then it's not holy, it's not mitame sayadayim. Achi ichtivenu, until you fulfill the following criterion, that he writes it bichtav ashuris, with our letters, ala sefer, on parchment, uvidyo, and with dyo, whatever dyo is. We'll say dyo is ink, but dyo is something more complicated than that. According to the Rambam, any black ink is dyo. According to Tosfos, it's got to have all kinds of other components. So it's unclear what's dyo. Tosfos doesn't approve of Rashi's ink. Meaning, I don't know if Rabbeinu Tam would read from Sefer Torah that Rashi wrote. He says, Rashi, Sefer Torah, they don't have the proper ingredients. Rashi, the ink they used in Rashi's town. His own grandson, Rabbeinu Tam. So, Amar Rava. I don't know. Tosus says. Tosus in Shabbos. Amar Rava. Lo kasha. Rava says, you think you got a question here? How come our Mishnah seems to say that if you write any of these things in another language, it's okay? These works can be written in other languages. And this source seems to say it cannot. So Rava answers, Kan begufan shelanu, kan begufan shelahem. The question is, how'd you write it? What letters did you use? Amar le Abaye. So Abaye said back to Rava, wait a second, b'mayu kimta lahi, how did you establish that braisa? You explained that the braisa is talking about begufan shelahem, when it's written using their letters. Mm-hmm. If you're using their letters, my area mikro shekoso targum v'targum shekoso mikro, what difference does it make what language you're writing in? Afilu mikro shekoso mikro v'targum shekoso targum nami. Even if you take the book of Daniel, you write it in Aramaic the way the book of Daniel is supposed to be. You take the book of Shmos, you write it in Hebrew the way it's supposed to be. What difference does it make? Nonetheless, once you're using other fonts, you're using other letters, so then it's not kosher. Daktani for the Braisa states, Achichtevenu Ashuris. You must write it using our letters. Ala Sefer on parchment video. So how could you say that we're talking about using different letters? If we're talking about different letters, what difference does it make what language you're writing it in? Why is the Braisa going to the language? That can't be shot in the Braisa. The Braisa seems to say the problem is the language. The problem isn't the letters. Elo lo kasho, but rather this contradiction is not really a question. Harabonon harabon shimming amliel. The Bryce is going to have to be Rabban Shimon bin Gamliel. E Rabban Shimon bin Gamliel, Ike Yevonis. So then why does the Bryce say you got to write it in Ashuris? Or you could still write it in Greek. Elo lo kasho, but no, you're right. Nix that.
What was he thinking there? It's quite obvious.
Oh, that's a great question.
It's quite obvious that.
So I'm going to leave you with a little bit of homework for 2 minutes. I'm going to just go get a drink so I can stop yawning. And you'll think about it. And when I come back, hopefully you'll have an answer. The lazy way out. Aren't I lucky I could get away with that? So you asked. The Gemara offered an explanation that maybe the Braisa, which says that if we have part of Tanakh that should be written in Hebrew that's written in Aramaic, or Aramaic that should be written in Hebrew, or if it was written with different lettering, then it's not holy. Perhaps that would be the opinion of Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. What was Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel's opinion?
He said even if every language is also
unacceptable
except
for Tanakh, other than Greek. So where did we speak about the exclusion of Greek in this Braisa? The Braisa excluded Aramaic, Hebrew being written Aramaic, Aramaic being written Hebrew.
So Targum is Aramaic?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the Braita also said he must be written in Hebrew script. But what would Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel say about writing in Hebrew script some Latin letters, Greek letters, whatever, Greek words? I don't know. That's one possible answer. I mean, we could have squeezed Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel into the Braisa somehow. The Gemara chooses not to. El Aloy Kasho, but says the Gemara, he came in the middle, I'm sorry, but soon we'll be up to stuff that you could follow more easily. But your question isn't the question. Kan Misvarim, Kan Bitfilin Zuzot. The difference is, are you talking about Tfilin Zuzos or not? The Braisa must be talking about Tfilin Zuzos. So the Gemara says, wait a second, Tfilin Zuzos, my time, or what's the reason that Tfilin Zuzos may not be written in a different language or in a different letters? Mishum dichsiv behu, because it says in Tfilin Zuzos, vehoyu adivarim ha'ele, these words should be on your heart, you'll write them on your arm, you'll put them on your doorpost. So even though the word vehoyu doesn't appear right where it says put them on your arm, it says vehoyu alevavecha, they'll be on your heart. But we say that the Parsha of Shema has dual meaning. It's a fascinating thing if you look at the Parsha of Shema. If you read the Parsha of Shema, we'll go on a tangent. Now Mr. Frankel's going to get excited. This is a very interesting tangent. Let's open a siddur. Let's learn the Parsha of Shema together and explore how much we don't understand in life. It's a worthwhile thing. Let's get a siddur. It's something to say 2-3 times a day. You have it.
Yeah, there's one of my...
Bother. It's okay, they also have to get their spar. Listeners also have to get a chumash. Okay. So let's see. Shema, I don't know what that means. Yisrael, I don't know what that means. Who are we talking to? Our grandfather? Israel? We're talking to the Jewish people? Maybe we should yell. Who are we talking to? And God wrote it in the Torah. Shema Yisrael. So is God talking to us, or are we talking to the Jewish people? Hashem, okay, so we think we understand that, at least some understanding. Elokeinu is our God. What about the nations? Hashem, why do we repeat it? Echot. That Hashem who is our God, he's one. So that's a mitzvah. We discussed that mitzvah, what it means Hashem is one. Then we add Baruch Shem Kod Masod Olam Ve'ed, which we could spend all night discussing what I don't understand about that. V'ahavta. So Hashem's talking to us, and he says, and you should love, singular sense, right? We began by talking to Yisrael, plural. We continue with Vahavta, singular. Eis Hashem Elokecha. Hashem, your God. Bechol levavcha, with your whole heart. Uvchol nafshecha, with all your nefesh, your life. Uvchol moodecha, and all your wealth. Why does it say bechol on each one? So now we start having the parsha talking about itself. These words will be Asher Anochi Metzavecha Hayom, that I'm commanding you today, which at first glance seems superfluous. Alevavecha, these words should be on your heart. What words are we talking about? Are we talking about the parsha of Shema? No, Chazal say we're talking about the whole Torah has to be on your heart. Vishinamtom levanecha, you'll teach them to your sons. What's that talking about? The parsha of Shema? No, it's the whole Torah. V'dibartobam, you'll talk about them. What are we talking about? That's the mitzvah to learn the whole Torah. But the word v'dibartobam also teaches us that this parsha of Shema must be read v'shivtecha v'esecho v'lechtecha v'aderech u'v'shoch b'cham, when you go to sleep, u'kumecha, when you get up. Wait a second. How could the words v'dibartobam refer to this one section and also the whole Torah? Two dual different meanings, right? Do we have a mitzvah to talk about Shema when we're sitting at home and when we're going on the path? So Chazal have derivations. Not only when you're sitting at home and you're not, when you're sitting at home, when you're doing your thing, then you have a mitzvah to read Shema. But if you're sitting at home doing a mitzvah, then osik b'mitzvah potur min a mitzvah. One who's busy with one mitzvah is potur from performing another mitzvah. And that's Chazal's derivation here. But you see that the word v'hayu, where is it they say v'hayu? Way back in the beginning of the parasha. V'hayu ad devarim ele, these words should be on your heart. So we say, yeah, that v'hayu, just carry it over, only a pasuk away, and say that that pasuk is going, no, two pasukim over. And says, Ukshartam Nosa Yadecha, bind them as a sign on your arm. What do we bind? Oh, that's this parsha, it's not the whole Torah. This parsha has to be bound as a sign on your arm. Vayul Totafos ben Nechel will be a jewel between your eyes, and you'll write them on the mezuzahs, the doorposts of your house and your gates. So that's talking about this parsha. That's where it says this parsha must be written in the mezuzah. You see the duality? On the one hand, the whole parsha is talking about the whole Torah, on the other hand, the whole parsha is talking about the parsha itself. Okay, so we have some questions. Good. Life is sweeter with questions. Really? Really, I used to not have questions and life was bitter. Then I started having questions and life got sweeter. It's exciting. This is what to live for. When you think you know everything, it's boring. You see, you don't know anything, so you learn, and then eventually you start understanding. No, there are questions I had for a decade, and finally I found someone who asked me. There are questions I had for 2 decades, and finally I found someone who asked me. Sometimes you have to live with questions, and I'm not that old. Okay. V'hayu. So, the Gemara is going to apply the word V'hayu to the mitzvah of mezuzah and tefillin, which it says in the end of the parasha. So, the Gemara says, why does the Braisa teach us that tefillin and mezuzah may not be written in any other language? May not be written with any other letters, any other, we'll call it font, for lack of a better word. Why? Because it says in the Torah, V'hayu. And we understand the word V'hayu to be more than just, and they shall be. It's more like a command, and they shall remain as is. V'havoyoson, in their existent state, yiyu. That's the way they're supposed to stay. Don't change them. So, seems like a great shot the Gemara came up with. That Raisa, well, you thought it was talking about the Tanakh? No, it was talking about Tzvilin and Mezuzah. And we could even back it up with a verse. So, technically, halachically, the Gemara's answer is a good answer. The only problem is, it doesn't fit into the words of the Braisa. Because the Braisa suggested that you might have Aramaic words translated to Hebrew. What Aramaic words are there in Mezuzah? So that's the Gemara's question. How could you say that's what the Braisa is talking about? My targum shektavo mikra ika. Where do you find any words written in Aramaic that could be rewritten in Hebrew? Bishlema Torah. I understand when you tell me that the Braisa was talking about Torah. According to that understanding, I understood. Ika, you have words in Aramaic. It says Yigar Sadusa, for example. It says Lavan, when they built that pile of stones and they hid a sword inside and they said, whoever crosses this pile of stones will be killed by this sword. So Yaakov called the pile of stones Gal A, the pile of stones is testimony, and Lavan called the pile of stones Yegar, the pile of stones Sahadusa, will be the testimony against me. Which it was, when Lavan's grandson Bilam came across to curse the Jewish people, ultimately he was killed with that sword. Pinchas went to the pile of stones, took out the sword, drew the sword from the stone, you see, they think King Arthur was the first one who did it. He drew the sword from the stones and said, with this sword, we're gonna avenge the treaty. He broke the treaty. Min Aram yancheini mehar rekedem. From Aram, they lead me from the mountains of the east. Lechor ali Yaakov, go curse Jacob. So he got killed with that sword. That's how Bilam was killed ultimately. So at any rate, Lavan called the pile of stones in Aramaic Yegar Sahaduso. The pile of stones will be testimony. So I can understand in Torah we have Aramaic words. And the Braisa could easily be talking about Torah when the Braisa says, if you take Aramaic and write it in Hebrew, that disqualifies. If the Braisa is talking about a Torah scroll, I understand. Elahocha, but here, now that you're telling me the Braisa is talking about what? What's the Braisa talking about, Mr. Frankel? Tefillin and Mezuzah. You want to say the Braisa is talking about Tefillin and Mezuzah. My Targum Iko. Where do you have any Aramaic in a mezuzah? What could the Braisa be talking about?
Thank you.
Okay, says the Gemara. Elo lo kasha. But, I got an answer, says the Gemara. No question. Lo kasha. Kan be Megillah, kan be Sfarim. The difference is, whether you're talking about a Megillah, or you're talking about other works of Tanakh. Megillah, my time, why must the Megillah be written in its exact form? Now, this is very interesting because, okay, let's read, understand, and then we'll come back to this point. Why must the Megillah be written in the exact language and font that the Megillah is always written? Why is that? Because the Megillah says they instituted the reading of this Megillah, Kichsavam Mechil Shonam, in accordance with their writings and their language. So they defined this writing, this language, if you change, disqualifies the Megillah. Okay, we have a derivation. You cannot change the Megillah and write it in another language. Okay, says the Gemara. But I'm going to come back at you with the same question. My Targum Shektavo Mikraika. Where do you have words in Aramaic that the Braisa could say about them? If you wrote those words in Hebrew, it doesn't work. Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa says, Rav Papa was the disciple of Rava. It says in the Megillah, V'nishma Pisgam HaMelech. Memuchan says to Achashverosh, when they're all drunk, you killer. Man, everyone will hear what you did. And the words that you say will be heard throughout your kingdom. When he says the words that you say, he uses an Aramaic word for that. He says, Pitgam HaMelech HaShayaseh. The word Pitgam is Aramaic. So you see in the Megillah they have Aramaic words. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok Omar. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok says, I'll quote to you another pasuk that's in Aramaic. Memuchan says to Achashverosh, if you kill the queen, oh, then all the women will shiver in their boots. They'll all honor their husbands. V'chol ha'noshim yitinu yikol l'v'aleyen. All the women will give honor to their husbands. Which word does he use for honor? He doesn't say kavod. He uses the word yikor. Yikor is Aramaic. So, you see, the Megillah has Aramaic. So the Braisa could be talking about Megillah. So the Braisa is telling you, one may not write the Megillah in any other language. So now we run into a big, big problem. Two problems. Problem number one. We're going to learn that the Megillah may be read in other languages. You can read Giftit le Giftim. You may read it in a different language to people who speak a different language. Well, if I can't write a Megillah in that language, then how exactly am I going to read it in that language? You're not allowed to read a Megillah by heart. So we have a problem, right? Okay. Problem number two. The Gemara is going to say, later on, we're going to have the Gemara is going to say, that the Megillah is called an Igeres. It says, Al kein al kol divrei hoy geres hazois. Why did they institute Purim? Because of this letter. So the Megillah is referred to as a letter, and we shake the Megillah when we read that. We shake the Megillah as we say, Haigeres hazos, this letter. So the Megillah is called the letter, and that has halachic applications. One halachic application is that we fold over the Megillah as though we're going to read a long king's letter. You know, hear ye, that's how they used to read a letter, a king's letter back then. They used to fold it all out and then read it. So we fold it like that. It has another application, and that is, let's say you miss a letter here, you miss a letter there. So Chazal said, yeah, that's how people write letters. They didn't have spell check back then. People forgot a letter here, forgot a letter there. That was the way they wrote letters. So Chazal said, being that the Megillah is called an Igeres, a letter, from here we derive that you're allowed to leave out a letter here and a letter there. Not only that, we end up saying that a large part of the Megillah could be missing. You could skip a pasuk here, skip a pasuk there. So long as you got the major storyline in, the Megillah is kosher. Megillah we're most lenient on about how you write it. So now suddenly comes out a paradoxical situation. On the one hand, you're most lenient. No other work of Tanakh do we allow you to skip a pasuk, skip a whole paragraph, skip whole sections, and say, oh, that's okay, that's okay. The Megillah we're most lenient on in that regard. And yet, here suddenly we're saying, you could write any other book of Tanakh in any language. Megillah, you got to stick to the text. Really? You let me miss out whole paragraphs, but here you're telling me to stick to the text. So obviously this has deeper meaning. Why on this Chazal were more stringent, and on that they were more lenient? We find the same paradox that when it comes to Megillah, Chazal say you can't miss hearing one word, one letter, you missed it, you missed it. Yet, you could skip a word when you write it, you missed the word, that's okay, it's kosher. So you have a similar paradox. Okay. There's Rat Hashem. Maybe the next time or the following time we'll explore those. Let's continue. But for now, we know the questions. Life's more exciting. So let's go on.
That's a pretty good question.
Good questions, right? Okay.
Those will be solved. Baruch Hashem.
We'll solve them soon with time. And they know part of learning is learning to live with questions. Okay. Learning to raise the questions and live with them. You know, a lot of the questions I answer for you guys, but you don't know how many times I learned this Masechet and did not have answers for those questions. So I'm doing you a disservice by trying to answer every question. You also have to learn to live with questions. It's part of learning. Ravashi Omar, Ravashi is going to give us another answer. The Gemara gave us one answer, and Ravashi is coming to disagree with his disciples. He's saying, guys, I got another answer. Meaning that the Gemara is like Ravashi's academy. They came up with one answer, and now the Ravashi is going to come up with another answer. Kitan Yahahi, the Shal Sifolim v'Rabbi Yehudahi. That Brisa is talking about other works, but it is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. What is Shar Sfarim? It's talking about prophets, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. It is the opinion of the great Tano Rabbi Yehuda. Titanya. For we have a braisa that teaches the following. Tefillin umzuzot. You have the place, Yehuda? Yeah, you bid us? Okay. Tefillin umzuzot. En nichtavin el ashurit. Tefillin and mezuzos must be written with the Hebrew font. Verabotenu and their teachers, hetiru yevanit. They permitted Greek. Ah! That's heretical. They can't permit something the Torah prohibits. Can't do that, right? So the Talmud's going to explain that, but you have to understand that the lines read simply are impossible. You can't understand it simply. The hakti vayu. So we say, wait a second. It says the tefillin mezuzos vehoyu. They must be in the state of being, the state they were given. You can't change tefillin mezuzos. Ela Eima, but rather you have to say like this. The Braisa wasn't talking about Tzuron HaMezuzos. Sifarim Nichtavim B'chol Lashon. You got to rework the Braisa. Really, the Braisa was a misquote. Like we said, the Braisa doesn't work the way it was quoted. Really, you got to quote it as follows. Tanakh is written in any language. Verabotenu etiru yevanit, and our teachers, they permitted Greek. Wait a second. A second ago you said any language, then you say, and they permitted Greek. Isn't that included in any language? So that didn't work either. So the Talmud asks, etiru, they permitted it. Mechlal de tanakama asar. What do you mean? Did the first opinion prohibit it? Seems like the first opinion permitted everything. Elaim, no, you got to rework the Braisa a different way. Our teachers, they permitted us to write it in Greek alone. They said you cannot write the Megillah in any language, you can only write it in Greek. Vetanya, and the Braisa says, Omar Rav Yehuda, Af she'etiru raboteinu yevanit, even when our teachers permitted Greek, le'etiru ela be'sefer Torah, they only permitted the Sefer Torah be written in Greek, not any other work of Tanakh. Umishumasei de Talmai, and because of the story of Ptolemy, the Egyptian king. Because of that, they permitted it. Who's Raboteinu? Who are our teachers? That's Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. So what's the story of Ptolemy? Ptolemy, the Egyptian king. Titanio.
So, two questions. Is that okay?
Excellent. Yeah. I'm with you.
Okay. There was near Yotevit, there was one of the reasons why we fasted, because the Torah was translated into Greek. Is this the story right here of that time? What was known as the Septuagint? Is that what we're talking about here?
I don't remember clearly. I think it says yes, but we'll check.
That's funny. Rav Goldenberg mentioned that this is the story.
I think so. Yeah. I think it says that.
70 rabbis.
Yeah, right? Yeah, you put them in different.
I think it says that. Yeah, we'll see that in a second.
Second question is, what were we just doing there? Working with, I think it was, we're trying to understand the Braita.
We quoted another Braita. Rav Ashi offered that this Braisa is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda in an alternate Braisa. So we quote the first sentence of the Braisa and we say, wait a second, that sentence doesn't work.
Why? There's no chance. And we try to rework.
We try to rework the first sentence. When we finally work out what the first sentence is, we go on to the second sentence of Rabbi Yehuda's opinion.
Okay. We're just trying to rework it. Even though that was quoted wrong.
We quote, right. We haven't yet quoted Rav Yehuda. We spent five lines reworking the first sentence of the Braisa before we can quote Rav Yehuda in the Braisa. We quote one line and then we say, pause. That didn't make sense.
Okay.
Well, you're right. It should have said this. That doesn't work either. You're right. It should have said that. That doesn't work either. Ah, I got it. This is what it should have said.
Okay.
Now you understand that that's not what happened in the Gemara here. We're learning it on a fifth grade level. The Gemara is not just guys sitting in an academy. I got it. No, that doesn't work. Let's write it down anyways in the Talmud. You know, it's like there was a bad editor here. All these bad ideas entered the Talmud. Just filter it out. No, they have halachic weight. These ideas that were nixed teach us things in halacha, but we're learning now on a fifth grade level, sixth grade level. Bezrat Hashem, when you get to third year base medrash level, then you could go into what's going on here. But it'll take you a few months to get there. You know, you got to work your way up. Right now you guys have worked from fifth to sixth grade. In a few weeks you'll be at seventh grade. We're working our way up. I'm serious. Every week you guys advance, every few weeks, another grade. I'm serious. I'm not joking. I'm very serious. So right now I'm saying it that way, but that's not really what's going on here. Because the Talmud didn't just record what's going on in a classroom. Okay, like you correctly asked at the beginning of the page, hey, what were they thinking? Why'd they offer such an answer? Obviously, that's not going to work.
There was a reason.
We learn things from it. Right now, we're not yet learning on a level where we can understand what we learned from it.
Because
Rat Hashem will get there.
Yeah,
if you stick around long enough. It's up to you.
Zod Hashem, I don't want to go anywhere.
Good, good. Okay, so what's the story of Talmi? Ah, I think we're out of time. So, should we run through the story? Okay. But then it's instead of our 5 minutes.
No.
Take the 5 minutes. What about? I want you to have this 5 minutes.
No, so we'll learn 2 minutes.
No, we'll do his five minutes.
The Tanya. Because we have the following story. I'll tell you, the guys who missed tonight deserve to be punished. They don't deserve to walk into a story tomorrow. I want them to walk in and see they missed the whole Amud. So we're going to do this story by hook or by crook. What is this? Where's everyone tonight? What's going on? I thought there was the engagement, but there's no engagement. And then where's everyone? So I go weiter. Let them see, they missed the whole page. Titania. This following story happened to Talmi the king. Shekinesh Shivim Mishnaim Zekinim. He gathered 72 elders, 6 from each tribe. Bechnisan Bishvim Mishnaim Batim. He put them in 72 houses. Velogilalem al Makinesan. He didn't tell them why he brought them there. Menichnasa said, Kol echad ve'echad. He went into each one separately. And he said, Kitvuli Torat Moshe Rabchim. Write for me the Torah of Moshe your Rebbe. They're locked in a room. And the king told them to do something. Natana Kadosh Baruch Hu b'lev kol echad ve'echad eitza v'eskim kulan ledat achat. God caused the miracle to happen. They all decided to make the following changes in their translation. Vekatvulo, and all 72 rabbis wrote, instead of in the beginning God created, which he could misinterpret as the words in the beginning being a deity, and then he'd say in the beginning God created, you know, this deity of in the beginning, God created, it created God. So instead they worded it, God created in the beginning. They switched around the order of the verse. Elohim bara bereshis. God created in the beginning. God says, let us make man. They worded it, E'ese Adam. I will make man. God says, Bitzalmeinu bidmuseinu, in our form. Yes? And they wrote it, Bitzelemu bidmus. It says, Vaychulu. Hashemayim v'aretz b'yom ha'shvi'i v'yechal Elokim b'yom ha'shvi'i. God concluded on the seventh day. He would say, he worked on the seventh day. So they wrote v'yechal b'yom ha'shishi. He finished on the sixth, v'yishbot v'shvi'i, and rested on the seventh. Zachar unkeva, male and female. They wrote it b'ra'o. God created him. That God created them. So that he understands there was one being created from the onset. God says, let us go down and confuse the language of the people of the Tower of Babel. They reworded it as, let me go down. Hava erda ve'avla, and I will confuse Sham Sifatam, their language down there. It says, Sarah laughed internally. So instead of writing it internally, they added, instead of Bikirba, they added a Vav and a Yud, Bikroveo, to her relatives, so that he won't come with a question, how come God plays favorites? He doesn't yell at Abraham for laughing, and he does at Sarah. Well, then he'd see the answer, because Sarah spoke to her relatives laughing at what was said. So they reworded it, but Yitzchak Sarah Bikroveo, Sarah laughed to her relatives, instead of Bikirba, inside her. Kiva Pam, when Yaakov in our parsha curses Levi, Shimon and Levi, he curses them for having killed men in their anger, and out of their desire they uprooted the ox, which is Yosef. So they didn't want him to come and say, oh, look at them, you come from murderers. Look, their own father calls them murderers. So they reworded it, Ki ba'apam hargu shor. In their anger, they killed an ox. Not they killed people. Uviltsunam ikiru avus. And in their desire, they uprooted his trough. When it says that Moshe took that Moshe took his family on a donkey. We see that as pride. Our great leader was so modest, he never took a penny, and he was the poorest man around. He rode them all on a donkey, on a chamor. But the king wouldn't appreciate that. He'd say, what's wrong with your Rebbe? He didn't have a horse, he didn't have a camel. So they rode, Vaikach Moshe tishtov et manavi akivim al noseb ne adam. Moshe took his wife and kids and rode them on a human carrier, whatever animal it was that was carrying humans. It says that Jews lived in Egypt 400 years. Now that doesn't fit the math, so they reworded it. That Umoshav Bnei Yisrael Sheyashvu Mitzrayim Uvashar HaRatzot. The years the Jews lived in Egypt and other countries was 400 years. It says that the leaders of Israel, they looked, they were sent, and the word that's used is Na'arev Neisrael, the lads of Israel. God was upset at them, so he called the elders lads, but they said, we can't have him read that. So they worded it, Vayishlach et Zatutev Neisrael ve Zatutev Neisrael Oshlach Yado. Twice they referred to his lads, and twice they changed it to say the important ones of Israel. Moshe Rabbeinu turns to God in the argument with Korach and says, God, I never took a donkey from them. They didn't want him to come and say, ah, you know, he didn't take a donkey, but he took other stuff. So they reworded it. Instead of chamor, they changed the resh to dalid, chimit. Lo chimit echad mem nasati. I didn't take anything they desired. Asher chalak, it says that God separated the different celestial beings for all the nations. He would say, ah, you see, God meant the nations should worship the other beings, the sun, the moon, the stars. We're doing right by being pagans. So they reworded the verse to say, God separated them for the nations to give them light. They added the word to give light to all the nations. The pasuk describes a person who goes to serve other gods. A Jew decides to become a pagan. And God says, other gods that I didn't command. So Ptolemy might say, you see, there are other beings in the heavens. God didn't command them to exist. God says, other beings that I didn't command. So they added the word that God did not command to serve those celestial beings. Not that God didn't command they should exist. That's what the pasuk really means, but they didn't want to give him room to come with claims. Vayelech ve'avod elokim achirim, elohim achirim asholot tziviti lo'ovdam. And when it came time to write about this animal, maybe it's a rabbit, they wrote the one who's swift-footed. They didn't write Arneves in the translation of the Torah. Because his wife's name was Arnevet. So he shouldn't say, they're making fun of me, they put my wife's name in the Torah. The Torah says, you're not allowed to eat Arnevet. Okay, and I guess we'll pick up over here with Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Wow, look at how much we did tonight.
What? A rabbi